The Burt Show.
We need the help of a Burt Show listener, a very specific Burt Show listener. The listener we're looking for is somebody who considers themselves an expert matchmaker, like somebody who is a that person who, and we all know them, who has set up other couples who have gone on to get married and be happily married and everything's great and everything's wonderful.
It's usually one of your girlfriends that loves the coupledom.
Yes.
She's very in love in her own relationship and wants everyone else to be as in love, and so does the whole setup thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we need that person, and if you are the person, we are at 404-741-1005. If you brag that there are five couples in your circle and you put them all together.
Right.
Like
I introduce them. Oh, yes. You know what? I know you see that great couple? I introduce them.
Yeah. Right. So I introduced her to his. Oh, that was a blind date. I set that up.
Exactly.
I worked with him and I knew her from college and I knew they would be perfect together. And we need your help. And probably more importantly, we have Burt Show listener Emma who needs your help. Hey, Emma, are you there?
Good morning, Burt Show.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
We're well, thank you very much, and we're going to be happy to help you out, hopefully, with the help of a Burt Show listener.
Wonderful.
Emma is in need of, well, I'll read from your email, the perfect man for one night and one night only.
Oh, okay. I guess that is the perfect man. What's going on this one night and one night only?
I actually have a wedding, and a wedding date is crucial to the night, but on top of that, it's a high school friend, so it's pretty much like a high school reunion and then a wedding all rolled into one. So I'm looking for the perfect date, and unfortunately for guys, weddings are pretty high pressure. You have to dress up, you have to dance, be social, and look really good all at the same time, so that's what I'm looking for.
Reading from her email, it says, this particular wedding is the epitome of every single woman's nightmare. I am the only single person I know that is attending. Everyone else is paired off at this point. It's a high school friend, so it'll essentially be a reunion, as she said. In addition, my high school was small and catty. So even people that do not attend the wedding will hear the gossip if I show up alone. No less than three now married ex-boyfriends will be attending.
Oh.
So she is in need of someone to play the role of her boyfriend, who is completely perfect. No pressure, though.
So
no
we
pressure.
Need a Burt Show listener who's a matchmaker to help us find this guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So if you are the person who can pair everybody off. Now, tell us what, in the eyes of your high school classmates, what would make this guy perfect? Does he need to be rich? Does he need to be good-looking? Does he need to be physically fit? Does he need to be all of the above?
I think just looking for someone that's impressive. So attractive, great personality. You know, at weddings, the girls all get together, so it's the type of guy that can have conversation with anybody. Somebody that the whole group will look at and say, that's a great person.
So. I think that that's more key than what he looks like or necessarily what he does for a living, because if it's somebody who can walk into a room and make friends quickly and sort of, you know, carry on conversations, whether it's with her like Aunt Ethel or whether it's with, you know, the other groomsmen or whatever. I think that's exactly who you want.
Yes, definitely.
The personality guy who can, you know, who can orchestrate that situation. That's who it is.
Mm-hmm. Now
we're looking for.
All right.
Are you going to set this up so that you and the guy will spend a couple hours like briefing each other? So it seems like it's a long-term relationship, or are you just going to say it's a, like, oh, this is our first date, or how is that going to work?
No, I would prefer that we get to know each other a little bit. You know, I'm not going to go in there and say this is my boyfriend, we've been together for 5 years, but, you know, I would like to be comfortable with each other and then say that we've known each other for a little while.
So he needs also to be smart enough that, like, you create some flashcards or whatever, and he can remember that. Like, you know, when in high school, all through high school, you wanted to be a weather girl on the news. Like, you'd tell him something like that.
Right. That'd be great. And then also somebody that's somewhat responsible. I don't want to take somebody to a wedding with an open bar and him be that guy in the middle of the dance floor. And
Hoss, you're out. Sorry.
God.
You're out. So if somebody was listening and going to be matchmaker for you, they need to know a little bit more about you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Grew up in Atlanta.
Okay.
and very passionate about my job and what I do. I like to have fun, go out, live music, comedy.
Cool. You said grew up in Atlanta?
And you went to high school here in Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay. So are you worried at all about the person who calls up actually being somebody else who went to your high school?
It's a possibility.
According to your email here, you want it to be a night to remember. You're doing all the things that you need to do. But the wedding is a week from tomorrow?
Yes, very soon.
Oh, wow.
So the turnaround is fairly quick.
Okay.
What will you be compensating this guy with?
Well, I've been thinking about that, and something in Atlanta that I would love is a DD for a night, somebody to drive around a group of my friends.
Right.
So I thought that might be a good thing for somebody who goes out with me for a night. Then I could give them a night where they don't have to worry about that.
That's fair. That's a night for a night.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Right, because so I'm assuming that when you take this guy to the wedding that you want everybody to know you're together, and are you going to fabricate a relationship with the person to your friends, or are you – it's just going to be – the reason I ask is because if he is pigeonholed where he can't kind of have freedom there and he's going to talk and entertain other people, but if he has to play as if he's your boyfriend, then, you know, you do have to come to the table with something equal. So I think the designated driver for the night is smart.
And it is important that, like, the guy obviously can't get hammered and tell anybody the truth, like what happened in Camp I'm
Right.
Or hit on
right.
other people, you know,
right.
like.
Yeah, let's stay away from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's what we'll do. We've got the details from your email. We've got the details that you gave us over the phone. So we'll put something up on our website.
Okay.
We'll put a link to Tracy's email address. And then the matchmakers that we were talking about will start scouring Atlanta to find the perfect guy, but they're going to have to work on it over the weekend, and we'll have to check back in with you on Monday, hopefully, to be able to deliver to you good news about this. They'll find the person over the weekend, and then we can bring you together on the air on Monday morning.
Well, that all sounds great.
And then is it a black tie wedding or anything? Like, does the guy need to make any special preparations? Will he have any expense related to this?
It's probably just going to be a suit.
Okay.
And then, of course, I'll buy the present, so there shouldn't be any cost for him.
Okay. All right, Emma, we're going to put you on hold, and we'll see if Tracy needs any additional information from you, and then we'll check back in with you this time Monday morning.
Great. Thank you so much.
And it's encouraging. The phones are all ringing. So.
Oh, great.
Let's hold on. This is an important question. I just want to make sure there's no important questions, and there is one. Hey, Kathy.
No, Jeff, this is Maria. I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
Everybody listens to the Burt Show. She's not afraid that somebody's going to hear her getting set up. I mean, she grew up in Atlanta, and uh-huh. it's a small wedding. She gave the date. How are they not going to know that this is the chick who prearranged this on Q100?
Yeah, that is a problem.
Well, I appreciate you thinking everybody listens to the Burt Show in the city of Atlanta. So that's awesome.
Well, we did change her name.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Emma is a fake name.
Right. Okay, well, good luck for Emma. I hope it works out for her.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What's your question?
What kind of age is she looking for the man-to-be?
You know what? I'm seeing if it's in the email, and it's not, but we will make sure that is put up on the website.
Oh, yeah, because I know a perfect guy. I mean, he's real invasive, and he's great to get along with, and he's always out to have fun and stuff, but he's like early to mid-40s, but
okay.
And he's really cute. But anyway, so yeah.
That All right,
well,
work for her.
Hold on the line, Kathy. We'll get your information, and then we'll get the answer from Emma, and we'll see if you two can connect.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
The Burt Show.
All right, Veronica, just give us a check to make sure you're on the voice disguiser.
Hey, guys.
That voice disguiser. Okay,
yep,
perfect.
Yep.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good. You have good.
How are you guys?
Good holidays.
I did. I just wanted to say I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We
love you guys.
Well, I'm glad that you are now. We'll see how it is after we talk to you.
We're glad you contacted us, and we hope you can get some advice from this that you will turn around and ignore, because that's what the Burt Show listeners do. But we'll try.
That's what you're good for, Jeff. Right?
Yeah, I know. We try. right, tell us about this perfect man.
Okay, so I've been with my boyfriend for a year, and ever since we've been together, we have thought that we would be married. He is an exceptional man. He is completely devoted to me. He treats me like a princess. He's always there for me. We very rarely ever fight. He's just the greatest guy. I mean, he's everything that I've ever looked for in a man. Mm-hmm. And we've never gotten to an argument until the holidays. And the issue was that he was spending too much time with his mother. So all of these feelings kind of came out of the woodwork over the holidays.
All right. What was the, when he was spending time with his mom, tell us what were some of the things he did to lead up to it? And then what was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Okay. Well, I guess for starters, she calls him at least once a day. And I have counted one time. She called him over five times in one day, and he had his phone off for half the day. So okay. That's pretty bad.
And before, so she was, like, kind of frantic that she couldn't get in touch with him?
No, it wasn't frantic.
Okay. But, like, she calls him and talks to him, casually. And they end the conversation, and then an hour later calls him again, has another conversation with him.
Now, before we continue, how old is he?
He is in his mid-30s.
Okay, great. All right.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. So, in addition to her calling on a regular basis, he sees her at least once a week. Sometimes he sees her two or three times a week for dinner, or he'll go and stop by their house and say hi. She lives pretty near where we live, so he'll stop by and see her. We were out to dinner one time, and she made this comment that... a girl is your best friend. If you have a girl, that she's your best friend for your whole life. And if you have a son, he's only yours until she takes a wife. And she kind of looked at me and said, well, don't you agree? Ooh. Don't you think that's true? Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like, Mom, what are you talking about? You know, that's ridiculous. But she has this dead set opinion that that I'm going to steal her only son away.
And you're going to take him away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can understand why a mom would feel that way. I mean, you know, I don't want to completely take her side on this, but mm-hmm. it is true. When a guy gets married, he ends up sort of, you know, doing more of what she, you know, the wife wants as far as family. And
as he should, though.
All holidays and all
children,
that sort of thing.
Children grow up. And, I mean, I know it's got to be tough for a parent, but he's in his mid-30s. Like,
right.
Children are supposed to get up, grow up, have families of their own, and parents are supposed to, like, be happy. Like, okay, you know, my responsibility's done. I get to kind of live a second phase of my life and do my own thing again. Because parents have spent so much time doing that. So I think the hanger-on parent is doing such a disservice to their child.
Did you say that you walked over to her house or that she lives that close? Did I hear that? Or
no, she doesn't.
Okay, how far away does she live from you guys?
She's about 30 minutes away.
And how did it come up that she wanted to have a sleepover?
she works close to where we live.
Okay.
And so she made a comment that she had to work early in the morning, and it was like 10 o'clock when she came over. And she said, you know, I didn't realize you guys lived so close to my work. And we were like, what are you talking about? You've been here a million times. She's like, well, maybe I should just spend the night over here. Maybe I should have packed my stuff to spend the night. And I kind of looked at her and laughed and said, yeah, maybe you should just bring your stuff and we can all have a sleepover. That'd be so much fun. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I know what she's doing and she knows that I know what she's doing. And he's kind of caught in the middle of it.
No.
Well, that,
AJ, you're on with Veronica.
To him.
Hey, AJ, you there? Oh, hold on one second. I think I got to reverse.
Well, let me
ask
a question while we get the caller on. So when she packed the bag, was it just for that night, or was she saying she wanted to do it consistently?
She said that.
Oh, hold on. Don't say anything. All right.
Go ahead. Sorry. Are you there? Oh, this is going to be a problem. because we can't have two people on at the same time. Do you know why?
With the voiceless geyser situation?
Yeah, hold on, okay, Veronica, because we want to get this up. We have a lot of people calling in to give you advice. So,
is she on the bottom row?
Yeah,
she's on the bottom row.
Yep.
Jen, do you really
think you have to put her on the top?
Do you think that
she's on the top?
The situation is really bad. I mean, everything that she said, I don't think sounds that extreme. Like,
I just want to hear more from her about her relationship with the mom and their conversations when he's not around.
Because the one phone call a day to your mom, so what? I mean,
seeing
mom once or twice a week for dinner, so what? I think that's sweet.
Well, that was something that I was initially attracted to him about, because I really loved the fact that he was so close to his mother.
Right.
But when you get deeper into the history of her life and her issues with her husband and this and that, she uses him as a security blanket. And she, I talked to his sister about this, and she even warned me about his mother, because she's so clingy, and I'm the first girlfriend that she's ever met of his. And keep in mind, he's in his mid-30s. So for him to keep every woman away until me, I think that speaks volumes.
Hey, AJ? AJ? Hello, hello? Let's try. Hey, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, you have some advice for Veronica.
Hey, Veronica. I feel like you married my husband's brother. Are you married to him or just dating him right now?
Dating.
Yeah, I'm married and I live with my in-laws, and I've been married 5 months, and my mother-in-law is exactly like that, and I feel very terrible for you, but honey, you're just going to have to put up with it. They don't go away. They really, really don't. And over time, I swear to you, it gets better. My mother-in-law cried because I was taking my husband on a one-night stay at Lennox Bed and Breakfast, and she cried when we were leaving, and I couldn't understand why. She's like, why do you guys have to spend the night? But why? And I'm like, I'm sorry, we have plans, we're going. Have a nice day, bye-bye. She'll call in the middle of the night just in case we don't pick up the phone. She would come knocking on our door at 3 in the morning, asking if everything's okay, if our lights are on. I mean, it's sad, and it's scary. We have no privacy, but be glad at least you don't have to live with them, you know?
Well,
you can't take a boy away from his mom. You cannot do that, because then you'll lose him. And you don't want to do that.
Right.
You know?
Well, there you go, Veronica. There's some optimism for you.
Well, I'm also curious about the attitude of the girlfriend. I mean, because I do think overbearing parents are, like I said, doing a disservice to the kid. But there is a responsibility when you are the girlfriend of a mama's boy that if you really want to be with him, the mother's not going anywhere. He's already shown you his relationship with his mother. Like you said, that's one of the things that attracted you to him.
Mm-hmm.
But how? But you know, like Jen said, it's got to be hard for the mother to let him go. So why is it so difficult for you maybe to one-on-one do something with her so that she feels like, you know, I'm going to be your daughter-in-law. You're adding a family member. You're not losing a family mm-hmm. member. And y'all become a little closer, because I think mothers get really threatened if their children all of a sudden decide not to be involved in their lives. And I think a parent becomes more comfortable the more you're around them and let them know everything's okay. It's just we're evolving, you know?
Yeah. I think that's good advice. So you think that I should maybe do something one-on-one with her?
Or just kind mm-hmm. of like, throw up a white flag. Like, you know, bury the hatchet. Say, look, you know what? I want to get to know you as a woman, and I think that she would treat you better.
Hey, Joanna?
Yes.
All right, go ahead. You're on with Veronica.
Okay, I live with my mother-in-law, and okay, you can try that what they just said to, you know, have a conversation with her and be friends with her. But if that don't work, if she still does what she does, because my mother-in-law, we do not get along, and you need to run, because your husband is never going to choose you over his mother. It's always going to be, if he's not putting his foot down now, or if you have a problem and he's not like you like talk to your the boyfriend or whatever, and he's not, you know, agreeing with you, it's never going to stop. So you would need to run, because right now I'm in a marriage and I, oh my God.
What are some of the things that Joanna, what are some of the things that your mother-in-law does?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, my problem is my mother-in-law is from Jamaica. She came and lived with us we had got married March 2006. She came and lived with us from in October, and she's been with us since then, October 2006. And she just overbearing. She just is in our business. She won't let us live our lives. It's like, that's our son. She's trying to take over my house. She's trying to take over my child. She's just
You gotta
everything.
Take,
just,
yeah, take a breath. Yeah,
Joanna needs to take up drinking.
Well, and I think that, I mean, that's that mother-in-law's fault for even considering moving in with this couple. You
well,
know?
Sometimes, you know how, like, in a pack of dogs, there has to be, like, the alpha dog?
Alpha dog.
Like, mm-hmm. sometimes in a household, there's alpha, you know, alpha males or alpha females or whatever, and it just mm-hmm. doesn't work if there's two people trying to be that way. Right. And the last two callers lived with their mother-in-laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too close for comfort.
That's a bad idea all around.
Hey, Katie.
Hey.
Give Veronica a little bit of hope.
I just wanted to tell her that my husband is very much so a mama's boy, and I absolutely love it. He goes and sees his mom probably once or twice a week, just like she said. Everything's the same. She calls him all the time. But I love it because most of the time she's calling to check on our daughter that we just had. We have a five-month-old daughter now, and she's so involved in her life. And I just wanted to tell her that that's not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing because family is huge, and I just don't think she should push her out of her life.
Well, I've never wanted to push her out of his life, mm-hmm. and that's the last thing that I do. I just don't respect the fact that she probes into our lives. I mean, she asked him if we sleep together. Huh. I'm like, we live together. You know, why do you ask? She asked very nosy, probing questions.
She just wants to know where she'll be staying when she sleeps over at the apartment, if it'll be with the two of you or if it'll just be in bed with him. Hey, Kimberly.
Hi.
You're on with Veronica.
I mean, really, really? Is this even an issue? Like, sweetheart, you should be lucky that he's not cheating on you or going out every night with his friends, getting wasted, doing God knows what, or doing drugs. Like, this is a blessing. And I'm not trying to be hard on you or anything like that, but, you know, like, look at it optimistically. And I know that there are things that go along with this that are bad, but he could be doing so many other things that would be driving you up the wall. This is the last thing you need to be worried about.
See, what you should have done, Veronica, right before this guy, or maybe you take a break from him and you date, like, a meth head man slut. And, you know, and you get used to somebody who's going out doing who knows what and sleeping around on you. And then when you come back to this guy with his mom, you'll think he's great.
And
you
just invite her for sleepovers all the time.
Yeah. And when in doubt, move the bar.
Exactly.
Well,
I think it goes back to what Jen said. If as long as there's not a power struggle going on, you can get along. You can't think you're taking over her position or you're competing with her. That is his mother. That's his mother. And you will be a mother someday, and you will be just as close to your kids. Because a lot of times the women that get into these situations with the mama's boy ends up being the one that mothers their boys too. So you got to stop the cycle, become friends with her. And I think
you do have to become friends with her.
Yeah.
I think Melissa's right. I think spending some time with her one-on-one will make her realize you're not trying to steal him away from her.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he's some sort of possession.
Good luck. Good luck, Veronica.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks for being such a fan of the show. I hope we gave you some middle-of-the-road advice.
You guys did.
All right. Good. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. Give our best to his mom. when you go downstairs and find her on the couch.
Okay.
Thanks, Veronica.
Thanks, guys.
The Burt Show.
All right, we're going to get Julian on here in a second. 17 years old, going to high school. And I mean, this is pretty courageous stuff at 17 years old. Because I asked Jeff before we got Julian on, I'm like, does this kid want to use the voice disguise? And he's like, no. Fake name? No. So to be out at 17 years old, that's pretty strong stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Julian.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Now, I don't have your email here in front of me, but give us a little history here. You came out to your parents when?
Not last summer, but the summer before.
Okay. So when you were 15?
Yes.
Just kind of as a sidebar, where'd you get the strength to do that?
Actually, I started going to a little bit of counseling right before so I could figure out how exactly to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a while, and they didn't really know why I was going. And then during the summer, I had them come in, and I told them. They freaked out, fired the therapist, and it was kind of bad.
So let me just get the order of things. You told them, look, I've got some stuff on my mind. I'd really like to go see a therapist, but you never came clean on why. And
exactly.
Then after you got the therapy, that's when you told them about it, and they said the therapist must be wrong, and they fired him?
Yep.
And the therapist is the one who helped you. Like, you went in, as soon as you get in with the therapist in the door, which you're like, all right, look, here's why I'm here. I'm gay, don't know how to tell mom and dad, you got to walk me through this.
Right.
Okay.
So they probably thought the therapist encouraged you to be gay. So they probably, yeah.
Did they really?
Parental logic.
They accused her of somehow making me okay with it or something. I was like, no, I was okay with it before.
How dare her try to make you feel okay about being you?
Then they decided to send me to another therapist, a Christian therapist. And
to try to rehabilitate you or something?
Yeah, but the funny thing was, I don't think he really wanted to rehabilitate me either. So that kind of ended up being a waste of money, too.
I think this is probably pretty standard stuff, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's why I guessed what they accused the therapist of, and not surprised that they switched him to one of a religious background, assuming that somebody of a religious background would find it as wrong as they do. And I think, you know, and when it's close to home, and especially I think Julian being, you know, a guy, I still can say that it's a lot harder, I think, for gay men than gay women. And, when it's close to home, like these, you know, your parents, I don't know whether they would ever have been people who would said, well, you know, everybody teach his own. But when it's in your own family, all of a sudden you become ultra conservative.
Yeah. It's amazing how open-minded your parents are until that situation happens to them,
dinner table. It's close to home. Wait a minute.
Right. Yeah. So, Julian, okay, so at that point, they obviously aren't handling the news well. Where is the relationship now with your parents? Do they accept you now?
Well, over this past summer, I went back home to Detroit because I'm originally from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was staying with my grandmother, and I visited my godmother a few times. And I told my godmother.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, around September, my godmother and my mom are best friends. And I guess my godmother decided to confront my mom, asking her why she never told her about this and all this other stuff. And so then my mom calls me in, and she's like, we need to talk. And we talked for a while, and she was like, well, I guess since you feel the need to tell other people, you must not be confused about it, or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She says, so I'm telling you today that I accept you. So I'm like, okay, good. You know, we've made progress.
Mm-hmm.
But lo and behold, a week later, she's like, I just don't understand it.
Right.
I'm like, wait a minute. I thought we already had this discussion.
Right. You know, Melissa and I have talked about this before, and I said some a painful thing. Well, Melissa took it painfully, but I was honest with her when I said that as a parent, if my now 3-year-old eventually comes to me and tells me he's gay, initially there's going to be some disappointment. I like to think I'm going to handle it differently. Like, I have unconditional love for this kid. I mean, eventually, and I don't think it's going to take all that long, but the shock, there will be some disappointment there for me. But kind of last thing I want to do is to make my kid not okay with himself. So,
and especially at age 15, I think, too, because, I mean, you can't drink, vote, drive, none of it. So I'm sure if you're the parent, you're thinking, he's just got hormones raging through him. He's
it's
confused.
A phase.
Yeah,
this is media has encouraged him, you know, to do this. The therapist, it's everybody else's fault. Yeah, Melissa on the Burt Show. I mean, she can do whatever, but you know what? That's her. That, you know, that's no way to be. But the thing that frustrates me, I think, is parent. It's not about the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like the parent, I understand about protecting the child, but I think the painful thing is the disappointment affects the kid is what Bert and my conversation was about. Like, it's not about the parent. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what comes in that fear from parents and the reason, like Julie and your mother, their reputation is on the line. Like, it's no longer about the son and protecting him from any, you know, if a parent says, well, I'm worried about you and what you're going to face in your life, that's one thing. But most parents are worried about what they are going to face with their friends and their family in their own life.
Yeah, and I think where I'm coming from with that and talking about the disappointment, it's not the reputation of the family, because the reputation of my family can only get better. It's more that you have hopes and dreams, and I guess there's this implied future, you know, with your child. And when they come to you and they say everything that you thought was going to happen in the future probably is not, I think that's a little bit shocking to the system as a parent and a little disappointing.
Well, but the thing that, you know, finding love, being in a committed relationship, if those are the things you're talking about, that's still going to happen regardless. You know, and the reason I get on the air and I fight for legal rights is so that future can be the same, regardless of what your child, who your child, you know, is in love with. And Julian, but I think your parents' problem is the reputation, their own reputation. I don't think it has anything to do with Julian and his life. I think it has to do with his parents.
Julian, we've only talked about your mom so far. What's your dad's reaction been?
Well, when I first came out and told them, he didn't speak to me or look at me for 3 straight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty mean.
Yeah.
And ever since then, he just doesn't ever talk about it. Only my mom talks about it because, I don't know, my dad doesn't like to talk about things that bother him, and it's obviously something that bothers him, and I only hear how he feels about it from my mom. Like, she was telling me how he's basically beating himself up because he feels like he did something to make me gay.
So the next level of this whole thing is that now you're kind of taking a peek into your future and looking at your prom, and you want to bring a guy with you?
Yes.
And what's your question on how to handle that with your parents?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, Julian, I mean, I think, you have taken on so much at such a young age, because I was certainly much more of a coward than you at 17. I was in relationships. I'd already been with women, but, I was by no means as strong as you are. And that's, a lot to take on. How is the school going to handle that? Like, my first thought when you said this was, is the school even going to allow you to bring a guy to the prom?
Well, I'm not sure. It is ultra conservative.
Is it a private school or a public school?
It's a public school. So Technically I could always get around it and be like, hey, it's a public school. I should be able to bring whoever I want to bring. I've seen lesbian couples, but I've never seen a gay couple there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give the phone number out here too. If you guys have any suggestions for Julian, 404-741-1005. So there's not like, they can't make a blanket statement that there can't be gay couples at the prom, right? I mean, you'd be open. They can't say that.
Well, they can try.
I mean, I think that would be unconstitutional.
I'm sure they would, but
yeah,
I don't think they would necessarily succeed.
Right.
Yeah, but they can try. And I think they would have the majority of support to keep a gay couple from coming to prom. I mean,
we're not
in as a progressive society as you think. Now, I think, Julian, my only thing for you is, one, to make sure that you're not doing this as an attack on your parents, that you truly want to take, if you find somebody to take to the prom, that's what you are going to do. And also find a support system, because if you're doing this by yourself, and handling your parents by yourself and going to handle the school by yourself, like, there's plenty of organizations in town for gay youth that you need some friends to help you out.
Oh, okay.
You know?
What's your instinct say to do?
My instinct says I just need to randomly bring a guy home and see how they take it. And if they can take that, hopefully they'll be able to take me taking a guy to prom.
All right. David here has some advice for you. Hey, David, you're on with Julian.
Hey, Bert. I went through something similar like this where I was in high school and came out at 16. And for me, it was kind of a similar situation where my parents didn't know. And basically, I was kind of blessed in that I was able to keep my school life and my home life totally hidden from them. And what really helped me was the fact that everyone at my school already knew, so it was kind of a non-issue. Even though I ended up taking a girl to prom, kind of everyone's back question was, why didn't you bring your boyfriend? And it was basically because he didn't feel comfortable going.
Mm-hmm. Julian, are you out at school?
Am I out?
Julian, are you out at school?
No.
No.
Well, yes, I am, but a lot of people think it's just a rumor. So, like, every day I have someone walk up to me, are you gay? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah.
So you're not obviously not hiding it from anybody. I mean, you're on the radio with us this morning. You're letting everybody know who you are.
Right.
So I can understand, like, with Bert, going back to what Bert said earlier about the initial shock, of being somebody's dad who comes out, especially a boy
mm-hmm.
who comes out and says he's gay, like, you got to feel like you did something wrong or screwed something up or whatever. And I think at some point, I would hope that your dad would not only accept you, but it's pretty impressive how at age 17 in high school,
mm-hmm.
like somebody comes up and says, are you gay? And you're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's it. Like, that's pretty, like, I hope you realize what a big deal that is. I think we're all in here. Like, I think Bert was a little shocked. I'm a little shocked at how
strong, you know, Julian,
yeah,
is
strong.
Like, because I certainly no. Like I said, I was not that way. I was hiding and lying and doing all that kind of stuff at 17.
Yeah, it's a little tough to ask this room for advice because three of us have absolutely no experience in this area at all, and one didn't really appreciate the way that she handled her own situation when she was.
Well, I mean, and I think part of the reason that I'm doing what I do today is because of that guilt and that anxiety I felt. I don't want. I'm glad that Julian's doing this, and if I can contribute to anybody not have, I'm trying to make up for it. I mean, that's one of the motivations for me being out on the radio doing what I'm doing is because of what I did in high school that I do regret. Now, Julian, you know, Youth Pride is one of the organizations here in Atlanta that is composed of gay high school and college kids. And so when I said a support system, there could be plenty of people in Youth Pride that have been through what you're going through, or maybe have some advice for you as well.
Right.
Sherry, good morning.
Hey.
Hi, you're on with Julian. You have some advice for him?
Hey, Julian, how are you?
Pretty good.
I am so proud of you. I'm 36, and I came out when I was 30, and it was really tough on me with my parents, and it took them several years to accept it. And the fact that you have done this at your age is amazing, and I hope you realize how significant it is, and that you are able to start your life at your age and not have to wait.
Yeah, how awful that must be. I mean, and I think this is probably the norm to have to go 30, 40, 50 years with this secret of such a vital part of your own personality.
Right.
You know?
The only advice I have for you is to stay as strong as you are, to keep remembering that you are who you are, and just don't let your parents negatively affect you. It can hurt when your dad abandons you or doesn't talk to you. And just stay where you are, man. You're doing great.
A woman came up to me at the Holligay party the other night and told me a story that was really touching. And Jillian, I wanted to tell you the story to let you know, like, her thing about how it takes a while for parents to accept you. So a woman came up to me at the Holligay party who came out to her mom recently, and her mom was not accepting of it. And she was an adult, so she was not still in high school or college or anything. And one of her advice to her mother was to listen to The Burt Show and hear me talk to my mother, Millie Pete, because Millie Pete is accepting of me. She's a 76-year-old woman from Kentucky who is as conservative as they come. But Julian, it took, I want to say, 6 years maybe for Millie Pete to finally realize I wasn't getting married, realize that I wasn't going to, you know, date guys and that kind of thing. So I think with your dad, you have to remember that parents are human too, and they were raised a certain way, and they were raised in a much more conservative environment than your generation was raised.
Right.
And I think that you just have to be patient and give time. And like I said, if you want to bring a guy home, great, but do it authentically. Do it because you really want to bring the guy home, not
right.
because you want to challenge your dad or challenge your mom,
right.
because that's
yeah.
not fair to them. Like,
right.
I really do believe that these are your parents, and you have a lifetime of relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So make sure that everything you do is because you really, in your heart, want to do it, and not to make, you know, to see if your dad's going to talk to you or have a reaction. You know what I'm saying?
Because yeah.
it may take him a long time to come around, but you just show him that you really are confident and secure in this decision to be out, and that you truly are happy. And then your parents, because all they want is for you to be happy. And once Millie Pete realized, you know what, she's a lot happier in relationships with women than any relationship I've ever saw her with a guy. That's what made Millie Pete change her mind. She wanted me to be happy. Seeing me happy, she accepted me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
hey, Julian, we got a roll. Most people on the phones are more just calling up to congratulate you and tell you that they're very proud of your strength, and we're not getting a lot of advice calls.
Okay.
So here's what I'd like to
you're
do.
You're way
is,
too functional and smart for this show, so
yeah.
maybe you can't give you advice.
You're very confident and so yeah. well-spoken at such a young age, and I think everybody's really impressed by you.
Julian, mm-hmm. what I'm going to do is I'm going to get your email, and after the show, generally what happens when the people that had advice couldn't get through because mm-hmm. everybody's calling up to pat you on the back,
right.
they will email us, and we'll just send the emails to you with the advice, okay?
Okay.
All right, congratulations, Julian.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Very impressive.
And life will get easier, I promise.
Hey, The Burt Show.